in listen-only mode.
Welcome to today's SNEB webinar, sponsored by the FNEE division, first webinar of 2018. So welcome. My name is Rachel Dager. I'm the executive director of SNEB and glad you could join us today. A little bit of housekeeping to get us started. If you look in the GoToWebinar tool panel, you'll see the one handout, so you can download the slides and follow along with the presentation today. We will take questions at the end of the webinar, so please type those in the question block. As always, if we have more questions than we have time for, we will do a follow-up email out to you with any of those answers that we could not answer live. And also, there will be a follow-up email on Thursday of this week that will include your CEU certificate, the recording, and then the handout material again for your reference. And then when we close out the webinar today, there'll be a short survey that'll pop up. We always appreciate your feedback on this session as well as suggestions for future webinars. So our moderator today is Carrie Derward. She is Extension Nutrition Specialist and Assistant Professor at Utah State University. She is the Western Region FNEE Representative.
Thanks, Rachel. So I have the pleasure of introducing our speakers today. First up will be Christine Rodeck. Christine is the State Coordinator for Iowa State University Extension Nutrition Education and Healthy Food Access Programs for Families Experiencing Poverty. Her work focuses on direct nutrition education and food system initiatives designed to increase access to fruit and vegetables in food pantries. Next up, we'll have Jody Gatewood. Jody is a human science specialist and registered dietitian at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Her work supports FNEP, SNAP-Ed, and ISU wellness and well-being programming. Finally, we have Justin Hoover. Justine is a human sciences specialist and registered dietitian at Iowa State University Extension and Outreach. Her work supports FNEP and SNAP-Ed programming at Iowa State, as well as the Healthy and Homemade Calendar and Spend Smart, Eat Smart online suite.
Okay, thank you for that introduction, and thank you to the Food and Nutrition Extension Education Division for sponsoring this webcast. This is Christine Rodeck. I'm going to be our first speaker today to help us get started looking at some of our Spend Smart, Eat Smart content, and as we move through the presentation, we'll transfer off to my two colleagues who have joined us today as well. We're excited to share this resource with you that we call Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We sincerely hope that you will find something in today's webcast that will be of use to you, either in your direct work with your clients or your partners, or as an opportunity for promotion among the larger population that you serve. So thank you for taking the time to join in the webcast today. So on the screen here, you can see the names of those of us who are going to be speaking. We will have contact information for each of us at the end of the presentation as well, if you want to be able to get in touch with us directly. And here are the folks who are going to be speaking today, as well as one of our colleagues. So as was mentioned, it will be Jody, Justine, and myself who are speaking on the webcast today. But I felt it was important to also include a picture here of our colleague, Kristen, who is really a critical member of the Spend Smart, Eat Smart team. And so it was only fair that she be represented here as well, even though she won't be speaking on the webcast today. Kristen's role is as Creative Project Specialist for Human Sciences Extension and Outreach. Any of you who are on the webcast today who have worked closely with Spend Smart, Eat Smart before, you may have actually had contact with Kristen. She occasionally helps us troubleshoot situations unique to different universities and that type of thing. So I had this screen up as people were joining in the hopes that you'd have the chance to, if you wanted to use a second monitor, be able to open up the Spend Smart, Eat Smart website, or if you happen to have a tablet or smartphone within reach, that you could download the Spend Smart, Eat Smart app from either the App Store if you're an Apple user, or from Google Play if you're an Android user. It's available both places. But if nothing else, this slide will be in the downloadable materials for you to be able to refer to later on. If you would like to have the website or the app open as we move through the presentation, it may be helpful. If you're someone who likes to play around and check things out while you're listening to the presentation, we will be featuring a couple of pieces from both the app and the website as we move through today. So to start, a little bit about what is Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We call it an online suite of resources. It's quite a few things that we group together under this umbrella name of Spend Smart, Eat Smart. It started with, and its central piece is a website. And the website is home to recipes, videos, easily accessible nutrition information, lots of different features and tools that can be helpful for anyone who's trying to make healthy choices on a budget. So the title of the website really is very indicative of what it is. It helps you learn how to spend and eat smart. We also have a weekly blog that posts every Monday. If you're interested in learning more about our blog, you can access it through our website. There's a tab on the site called blog, and you can sign up to have it show up in your email on Monday so that you don't have to remember to go out and read it. And the weekly blog is a really nice way for us to be able to feature kind of timely information, highlight sources from the website that people may not be aware are there. And they're typically written by myself, Justine, and Jody. So the folks you have on the call today are the main authors of the blog. We're also always interested in ideas for content for the blog. So after you listen to the presentation today and spend some time on Spend Smart, Eat Smart, feel free to let us know if you've got recommendations for topics we might want to explore in the blog. We also have three social media platforms that we use, Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest, that all use the handle Spend Smart, Eat Smart, if you're looking for us that way. And we, in 2017, launched a mobile app. So the mobile app is new, but it is part of the Spend Smart, Eat Smart suite. It has some content that overlaps the website and some content that's unique to the app. So we like to say that they are sisters, but they are not twins. There is some content on each of them that is unique, but there are pieces that overlap as well. And the mobile app is really designed to be the features of Spend Smart, Eat Smart that you would want to have in your hand at the grocery store. It's really about that kind of shopping experience, the tools that you'd want to have when you're making decisions at the store. So a little bit about our intended audience. The audience for Spend Smart, Eat Smart in reality is quite broad, though when we write content, we write it focused on families with low income. That is who we have in mind when we write the content. So it's particularly helpful in direct education with participants, past participants of programs like FNEP or SNAP Education. It also, though, is really useful for program staff that work in those programs and others, as well as our partners at places like WIC that serve a similar audience to FNEP or SNAP Ed. And then, of course, just general consumers. Most people are interested in how they can eat healthier on a budget. So even though we tend to think about families with low income when we work on our content, it's applicable to a really wide range of folks as well. So a little bit more about our purpose. A big piece of this purpose is creating a trusted online presence. I'm sure many of you can relate to the massive amount of nutrition information and advice that's out there online that's often not carefully vetted and really subject to trends and that sort of thing. We want Spend Smart, Eat Smart to be a place where people can go and have trusted information. It's regularly updated. The content is research-based, and it comes from experts at the university. We maintain a connection with our FNEP and SNAP Ed participants through Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We really encourage them to follow us in some way before they graduate from either of those programs. It also allows us to extend our reach beyond direct programming. There's a lot of people in the state that we can't reach with our direct programming, but many of them might be interested in accessing resources online. And the last purpose I have listed here, but is a really important one, is that it becomes a resource for all of our staff, as well as partners, to not only stay connected with us, but have a place they can reliably get quality information. And I wanted to take a moment just to make a note about aesthetics. Aesthetics are something that's really important to us with Spend Smart, Eat Smart. It's important to us that our online presence be just as attractive and easy to use as any website that might not have particularly accurate information on it, because ultimately we want that user to keep coming back. We want them to enjoy using Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We want it to look as nice and be as fun to use as any other site. So for us, it's not just about appearances. It's part of that effort to encourage users to make a habit of using Spend Smart, Eat Smart on a regular basis and get into a routine with that. So this is just kind of a snapshot of the site. Justine's going to give us a more extensive tour, but we do try really hard to make sure the aesthetics of Spend Smart, Eat Smart stay really attractive. So a little bit about the changing landscape that has motivated us to invest in and focus on online outreach. As many of you, I'm sure, are aware, there's been a lot of demand for mobile access. It's how people access information. It's where they spend a lot of their time, so trying to get into that space. We've also had a dramatic increase in following on social media over the last couple of years, and wanting to kind of be accountable to that and making sure that our content is staying fresh and current, and continuing to keep those people coming back to Spend Smart, Eat Smart. Of course, we want to remain relevant to our users and respond to changing demographics in our audience. And within Human Sciences Extension, we are really trying to work on creating more of a paperless resource collection to just respond to kind of the changing times for Extension as a whole. This is kind of a philosophical shift toward viewing our web presence as just that, as a web presence rather than a collection of printable publications. It's easy for a website to become kind of a warehouse of printable pieces that can be used in education. We're trying to really stay mindful of this idea that we want Spend Smart, Eat Smart to be a web-based resource, that when we're driving clients to it, we want them to have the opportunity to see the whole site, not just a printable from the site. So that has been kind of a shift in thinking for us and has driven how we create some of our content for the site. So that has required us to embrace some change that we've done over the last couple of years. The first being having to shift platforms. Those of you that may have been familiar with Spend Smart, Eat Smart in years past, you probably noticed that in 2017, we shifted onto a new platform, basically rebuilt the website in a way that allows us to be mobile accessible. It works well now on phones, tablets. It responds to whatever device it is that you're using and still works just fine, of course, on a desktop computer. We also refreshed the content, streamlined a lot of it, took out a lot of the content that wasn't really a fit for our current audience. And we've also shifted towards some new types of media that don't have as much dependence on language. And, of course, we talked about having the companion mobile app. So not only does the website work well on a mobile device, but there's also new and different content on the app as well. So as an example of this new media that I mentioned on the last slide of trying to be less dependent on language, because it, you know, used to be that if we've had resources in both English and Spanish, we felt like we were doing okay with meeting language needs of our clients. And it's just not true anymore. There's so many languages among the clients who we hope to serve that instead we're trying to shift more toward less language dependence in general. So rather than thinking about what can we translate into different languages and make available as a PDF on the website, or how can we caption things in different languages, we're trying to remove our dependence on language, period. So our new videos are an example of that. We certainly can't take language out of everything, but videos are something that we have worked on having less language dependence. So this is just a screenshot of one of our videos that is basically an instructional video about how to break down a whole melon. So if you buy a melon at the farmer's market or the grocery store, what do you do with it? How do you turn that into something that you can eat? And you'll see that on this screen grab, there's a term at the top of the screen, large cube, which our literacy specialist here at Iowa State, her name is Connie Beecher, gave us some instruction that it's good to put terms on the screen like that for clients that may be trying to expand their English vocabulary, working on learning English. But there's no voiceover on these videos. They purely show. They don't tell. There's music running in the background, and you'll see terms like this pop up on the screen. But the viewer really just needs to watch what's happening. They don't need to be able to understand language to see what's happening in the video. So that's an example of how we're trying to look at some options for minimizing language dependence when we can. A little bit about what you don't see about Spend Smart, Eat Smart. So it's really easy when you go into the website or the app to see all the resources for eating well on a budget, but there are some things behind the scenes that we're pretty proud of that you can't see. So the first is it meets a AA accessibility standard, which is something that we had to kind of learn from the web design people who helped build it. It works really well with screen readers. So for folks who have an accommodative device on their computer that allows the screen to be read to them due to a visual disability, it is compatible with those screen readers. It also meets requirements for color and contrast for people that might have visual difficulties that are worsened by certain combinations of colors and degree of contrast. It also will respond to automatic live translation. So this means that if a user is browsing the web in a language, if they have their browser set, say, to French, then Spend Smart, Eat Smart will read in French. It will translate to whatever language they're using when they browse the web. For those of you that maybe have not browsed the web in a different language other than English, there are instructions on the website in the About section that explain how that works. Chances are your clients who primarily speak a different language at home are familiar with doing that on their web browser. But if you ever want to see how that works, there are instructions on the site for how to do that. And the new platform allows it to respond to that type of translation within a browser. So I am now going to turn control over to my colleague, Jody Gatewood, who is going to share a little bit about how we use the Spend Smart, Eat Smart suite of online tools in extension education and beyond.
All right. So, thanks, Christine. So as Christine mentioned, our Spend Smart, Eat Smart resources get used in many ways here at Iowa State, and so I'm just going to share with you a few ways that they are used or ways that they could be used. So we have two standalone programs on Spend Smart, Eat Smart, and they are a child care training that we do for child care providers, and then one for worksite wellness or a general audience. The child care training is a two-hour program taught by our nutrition and health specialist. And so they teach providers strategies for saving money at the grocery store and providing healthy meals for the kids that they care for. The presentation includes activities that help them learn about the Spend Smart, Eat Smart website and app. And the program is approved by DHS here in Iowa. So providers get continuing education credit for their licensure that they need when they take the class. The Worksite Wellness program is 45 minutes in length, and it also teaches participants strategies for saving money at the grocery store and eating healthy. They also do activities to learn about the website and app, and this program is also taught by our Nutrition and Wellness Program Specialist. Recently, a supervisor for our FNEP and SNAP Ed program completed her master's degree, and as part of her graduate degree, she created mini lessons on Spend Smart, Eat Smart that include activities to learn about the resources on the website and app. And the topics are listed there on the screen, and they include planning and shopping, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, protein, dairy, limiting fats, sugars, and salt, and then how to save recipes on the app. These mini lessons could be used on their own, for example, in a food pantry to do some nutrition education, or they could be incorporated into other programs that discuss these topics. And the lessons are designed to take 5 minutes or less to do. So again, there's something if you need, you know, just a quick addition or just a quick bit of nutrition education. The staff here in Iowa that have used them really like the activities. They like the layout of the lessons because they tell educators step by step how to find the resources on the website or app and how to demonstrate something like our unit price calculator. The mini lessons also have screenshots of different pages on the website or app, so educators know if they are on the right page as they go through the different steps. And later on, Christine will show you a sample of a lesson as we walk through the website and app. We also incorporate Spend Smart, Eat Smart into our FNEP and SNAPED programming. As Christine mentioned, this is a primary audience for Spend Smart, Eat Smart. And our program assistants for those programs have iPads, so they are able to do some of the Spend Smart, Eat Smart activities with program participants. And they can also help participants sign up for our blog. So as Christine mentioned, after they are done with those programs, they are still connected to us through Spend Smart, Eat Smart and can get that reliable nutrition information as well as recipes. We also use Spend Smart, Eat Smart as a teaching tool for FNEP and SNAPED. And so as part of our orientation for new staff, we have them do activities on Spend Smart, Eat Smart so they become familiar with the resources so they are, you know, better able to share them with participants. But they also then learn nutrition information as they are doing the activities. For example, we might have them use the grocery budget calculator or have them watch some of the videos, such as using a food thermometer. Another way that Spend Smart, Eat Smart is used here in Iowa is through our Words on Wellness newsletter that our nutrition and wellness specialists write. It's a monthly newsletter and includes a nutrition article, a food safety article, a physical activity article, and a recipe. And our Spend Smart, Eat Smart recipes are often used for the newsletter. We also share links to other resources on the website in the newsletter. A resource we recreated within the past couple of years for Spend Smart, Eat Smart is our Produce Basic Sheets. And these are handouts and videos that describe how to store, clean, and prepare various fruits and vegetables. And the handouts are often used in food pantries and at farmers markets. And so Justine will show you in a bit, but you can find them under the Cook section on the website, and they are also available on the app. And lastly, one of our nutrition and wellness specialists does a monthly TV segment, and she often demos recipes from Spend Smart, Eat Smart, or uses a topic from our blog as the topic she discusses on the TV segment. And lastly, some of the other partners that use the Spend Smart, Eat Smart resources include the Iowa WIC program, the Iowa Department of Public Health, and many other land-grant universities. So now I will pass it back to Christine to share with you some of the mini activities.
Okay, thank you, Jody. I am going to kind of continue on with a little bit more detail about what Jody just finished describing. So as you can see, Spend Smart, Eat Smart's a tool that we use in a lot of different aspects of extension programming in Iowa. You know, it was built for our kind of target audience of families with low income, but it resonates with you know, families of all different types across the state. And we love seeing partners use it. We love seeing specialists use it and program assistants and sometimes even folks outside of our, you know, kind of disciplines within human sciences. It's exciting to see them use it too. And one of the pieces that we've developed in the last year to make that as possible as it can be for various folks to make use of Spend Smart, Eat Smart is this activity collection. So it's a collection of, I think there's 8 activities that can each be done in less than 5 minutes. Some of them can be done in 1 minute or 2 minutes, that basically are meant to show a feature of Spend Smart, Eat Smart to the participants in your program or the person who you're talking to or what have you. And so I'm going to show you a little bit more about that activity collection, and then I'm also going to show you an example of one of them. If you happen to have the app downloaded on your tablet or phone, you can pull that out and you can play along if you'd like to. So to start with, I wanted to make sure we shared with you how you get these activities. If you're interested in checking them out, you can get them through Iowa State University Extension and Outreach's online store, the Extension Store. You can see the web address up at the top of the screen that's up now. If you go to store.extension.iastate.edu. It'll pop up and you can just search for Spend Smart, Eat Smart, and you will find this particular resource. It's called the online store, but this resource is free. You'll see if you look at the screen here that there's just a button that you click to download, which allows you to download a PDF, and you can review it and decide if there's portions of it that you would be able to make use of. So that's out there on the online store for anybody who would like to access it after the session today. And as Jody said, the topics of these activities are things that are included in a wide variety of nutrition education. Things like planning and shopping for meals, getting enough fruits and vegetables, whole grains, protein and dairy, limiting certain things like fat, sugar, salt, and also how to make use of features of the website like saving recipes so that you can access them later on. So the topics are really quite general, meant to be as flexible as they can be to work with whatever you might need them for. So here's an example of what one of the activities looks like. And you'll see that this one is on fruits and vegetables. This is activity one. There are two activities for fruits and vegetables. So you'll see at the bottom, there's a little note flip over for the second activity if you'd like to use both of them. And I wanted to use this example to put it up on the screen so that you could see some of the features of these pieces. You can see that it's very simply laid out, 1, 2, 3, 4, in terms of the process that you use to go through this activity, and there's some scripting in there as well. So if you have an educator who you're working with who maybe is not quite as comfortable with using technology and would like to at least have some scripting to get them started, there is some scripting in there that you can certainly use if it's helpful to you. Another feature that's really nice about these is you'll see that there are screenshots. So the first is the home screen of the Spend Smart, Eat Smart app. And you can see the red circle at the bottom tells you exactly where you're going. So what you're clicking on in order to bring up the feature that's being highlighted in this activity. So for this activity, you start by pulling up the Spend Smart, Eat Smart app on your device. You click on the video link at the bottom. And that's circled on the screenshot. And then you'll see the second screenshot shows the four different categories of videos that we have. And for this particular activity, we're looking at food preparation. So you'll see that that's also circled on the screenshot, telling the user exactly where they're going. And then the fourth option is to click on one of the videos below as an example to show participants what the Spend Smart, Eat Smart videos are like and talk about how they might use them. We're not going to show one of them now because videos notoriously don't work well over webcast platforms, but if you've got the app downloaded or you can pull up the website after the session, I'd encourage you to check those out. You can see a screenshot there of one page worth of the videos and get a sense for whether they might be useful to you in some of your programming. So that's just an example of one of the activities. This one is a fruit and vegetable one. There are some related to other really common nutrition topics like whole grains, protein, planning, that type of thing. So hopefully you can take a look at those again from our online store. They're free, and see if they might be useful to you in terms of thinking about how you could connect some of your clients with online resources in a really simple way. So now I am going to turn control over to our colleague Justine Hoover, who is going to give us a tour of the website itself. I'm sure at this point you're all kind of wanting to see a little bit more into what the site is actually like, and she'll also highlight some of the most popular features of the site. So I am going to give you control here, Justine.
Okay, thank you very much, Christine. I really appreciate that. I'll get my screen started. Okay, everybody should be able to see the website right now. I have it pulled up. And like Christine said, I'm going to show you some of our best features on our website and just give you some highlights. You certainly can follow along if you have a second screen on your computer, or if you have one of your mobile devices with you, feel free to follow along with me. If not, enjoy it later while you enjoy your lunch or something else. Enjoy our website. So the first thing I'm going to look at is I'm going to scroll all the way down to the bottom of our website. And at the bottom, you will see a little section called Additional Information. And this is where Christine mentioned you can find out about the translation. So if translating a website into another language is something that you have never done before, there are exact instructions right here on our website so that you can translate that. So you can translate your browser and then our website will translate automatically for you. Just really quickly, we are going to look at our grocery budget calculator today, and here is the information for how our grocery budget calculator works if you'd like to read that at your leisure. And then we also have our nutrition guidelines for all of our recipes listed here under the additional information section, and again, you can look at those at your leisure. I'm going to head back to our homepage. And then you can see across the top here we have our categories of plan, shop, cook, then our link to our blog, our videos, and our recipes. So we're just going to go right on down the line here. First, we're going to look at plan. In here we have four sections. We have what you spend. We also have some meal planning and shopping tools, and then also some tools to help you track your food expenses. And we are going to look at what you spend, which is our grocery budget calculator. And this is really a lot of fun. I'm going to put my family in here so you all can see what my family should be budgeting per week or month. So I can add myself. And I do not eat away from home very much. And then I can add my husband. And he eats away from home maybe a little bit more than I do. We have a school-aged son. And he eats five meals a week at school, plus maybe we go out to eat as a family once a week. We have a daughter who's not yet in school. She does not eat out of the home hardly at all. And then we have the baby. And he does not eat out very often either. So then I've got all five members of my family in the grocery budget calculator. I just press calculate. Scroll up here and it tells me that I should budget about $171.69 a week or about $744 a month for groceries for my family. And then below you can click if you spend less than that, if you spend the same amount, or if you spend above that amount. It gives you some tips and ideas and suggestions for sticking to your grocery budget. So that's our grocery budget calculator. I encourage you to put you or your family in there and see how you're doing on your grocery budgeting. Next is shop. We have an aisle by aisle section. We have some information on unit pricing and reading food labels. And then we also have a link to download our Spend Smart, Eat Smart app. So if you or someone you know is very interested in doing unit pricing at the store, or if they need to quick pull up a recipe for the ingredients at the store, they can have the app with them whenever they have their phone. So what I'm going to look at today is our aisle by aisle section, because this has a lot of information in it. We have it broken down into five basic food groups here. I'll click on fruits and just scroll through so you guys can have an idea what is going on in this section. It talks about how much a person needs in a day, what counts as one cup, and then the rest of it is a lot of really good tips and suggestions. So we do have a video related to this, and then a handout, a printable related to the video. We have a couple of printables here that you can get to from the website. Some really good information about storing, food waste, and then some additional videos and printables to go along with those. Choosing fresh, canned, or dried fruit, also juice. And then again, a few more videos and handouts. And then the last thing is some links to more information on fruit. So you can go through that with any of the food groups. Scrolling back to the top, we'll get to the cook section. We have information about getting organized in your kitchen, kitchen tools, that kind of thing. Food waste is something that we're always working towards avoiding. Cooking at home. And then Jody had mentioned our produce basics section, so let's look at those really quick. This is a collection of, you can access these online, or they are printables as well that you can use at events where people need information about one or just a couple fruits or vegetables. Like she said, they're very useful at food pantries, and they're also very useful at farmers markets locations. So they go from A to Z, starting with asparagus, and we can go all the way down to zucchini. So we have fruits and vegetables from A to Z, and we're always adding to this collection as well. We'll look at broccoli really quick because this is a really complete one. Each one will talk about the nutrition benefits of the produce item. It will talk about the best way to select that produce item, so what to look for, the best way to store the produce item, how to clean it, so some food safety information, and then some preparation information. We just happen to have one of our newest videos on how to prepare broccoli. So like Christine mentioned, this is one of those that is mainly just you can watch it and listen to some really snappy music, and you don't have to be able to read or follow the English language to be able to understand what's going on in this video. We have some featured recipes that are linked. And then at the bottom, we have the two printables in English or Spanish if you need to print those off and use them. Next is our blog, and Christine did an excellent job of describing our blog, so I'm just going to show you a couple things on here. Our most recent, usually 2 to 3 blogs, are up on the screen. Like Christine mentioned, they come out every Monday, so there's one by Jody and one by myself. All of our archived blogs are along the left-hand side of the screen, and then you can sign up to receive our weekly email on Mondays in your inbox. You just put your email right here in this box and hit subscribe. You'll receive an email that will give you instructions to get signed up for the blog. So back, our video section is probably my favorite section of the blog, because I really love the videos. We have 4 video categories. You can see them here, or you can see them down below. We have food shopping, food safety and storage, easy recipes, and food preparation. I'll click on this one. Since this is where most of our newest videos are housed under food preparation, so you can click play on any of these videos and they will get going for you. And our newest ones are going to be these ones that say how to, so like how to prepare a kiwi, a melon, a pepper, ground beef, broccoli, zucchini. It's a lot of fun, but they keep on going. We have other videos as well all the way down the screen here. They are a lot of fun. I encourage you to take the time to watch a few. And then you can link to the other sections from here. Last is our recipe section. We are always changing and updating and improving our recipes. We keep about 200 recipes we maintain at any one time on the website. They are divided into 9 categories. I'll click on main dishes here because it has a lot. The recipes will simply load for you as you scroll down, and they'll just keep loading. I'll open one up for you. Here is our January recipe of the month. We have a recipe featured every month, and this month it happens to be our tamale pie. Each recipe is going to have the number of people that it serves, what the cost per serving is, and then what the serving size is. It's going to have a clear list of ingredients, and most produce is going to be shown in both the whole purchased size as well as the cup size, the measure. And then the instructions. Most of our recipes have tips that go along with them. All of our recipes have a nutrition facts panel that go along with them. And then you can print the recipe. This recipe will print off in whatever language you are viewing the recipe in. So if you have your browser set to English, the recipe is going to print in English. If you have your browser set to Spanish, French, whatever it may be, your recipe will print in that language. So that is all I have to share on our tour today. I'm going to switch things back over to Christine, and we are going to take questions at this time.
Okay, thank you, Justine. I hope you all enjoyed that tour through the Spend Smart, Eat Smart website. I took a look here at questions as Justine was speaking, and I see that one person posed the question of what is the address of the website. If you Google Spend Smart, Eat Smart, that's going to be the fastest way to find it, but spendsmart.extension.iastate.edu is the website, and that is in your slides. It's back in the, I think, the second or third slide, so you will be able to see that going forward. I have a few questions that have come in through the typed chat, so those of you that might have questions you'd like to pose, you can go ahead and put them in there, and in the meantime, we can address the ones that are already there. There's one about the activities, so that printable PDF of activities. Someone asking, do you get that through the app or through the website on the phone? You actually get that through the Extension Online Store. So the slide that features that, I will tick back here so we can show that to you. So this is the ISU Extension Online Store. You can see the address for it up at the top, or you can also Google ISU Extension Online Store and just search Spend Smart, Eat Smart, and you will find this piece, and it's just a downloadable PDF. There is no cost to it. So you can download it just to take a look at it and see if it's something that you think you would like to use. So you don't actually access it through the app or through Spend Smart, Eat Smart. You get it through the Extension Store for Iowa State. Okay, I see another question. Based on your analytics, what are the most accessed features of the app? That's a really good question. And the most accessed feature of the app is the grocery budget calculator. But in the interest of full disclosure, that is actually linked as part of an online nutrition education program used by the WIC program called WICHealth.org. So there's multiple states' WIC programs that use WICHealth.org as an online means of providing nutrition education to their clients, and it's one of the WICHealth.org uses our grocery budget calculator in one of their lessons. So that drives a lot of traffic to that calculator. Beyond that, the recipes are a really highly used part of the website, as well as the videos. The videos do get a fair number of hits. When we have surveyed our users about the pieces of the website that they like the most, the recipes usually rank very highly in there as well. How is the website funded? How many FTEs are devoted to the maintenance and development of the site? So the website is funded in part by SNAP Education. It is part of our SNAP Ed work here at Iowa State, and it's also funded in part by another account through Iowa State University that isn't tied to any of our grants. As far as FTEs being devoted to its maintenance, each of us who are on this call today have a piece of our job that is maintenance of Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We also have a student who, her name is Lynette, and she is who gets the blogs up and gets all of our social media posted. And then, of course, we have Kristen, who's our creative projects coordinator. But for each of us, it's just a small piece of our job. So in total, it's less than one FTE. Again, in the interest of full disclosure, we should share with you, though, that Spend Smart, Eat Smart is maintained by a company called Flying Hippo Digital. That's a company here in Des Moines, Iowa, who handles all the behind-the-scenes work for Spend Smart, Eat Smart. We provide them with content, and they create the templates that allow us to keep things on the website looking consistent. So we do have help, too, through a contract with Flying Hippo that actually built the website on its new platform and trained us in how to use the templates they created to keep adding content to the website. Okay, another question. Do you have a way of identifying how many downloads are staff versus participants? Jill, that is a good question. I don't think we do. Jody or Justine, feel free to interrupt me if you know something I don't, but what we see is total downloads. When we look at analytics for Spend Smart, Eat Smart, the website and the app, we can look at those geographically. And we can see if they're outside our state, but we don't see staff versus versus participants to be able to distinguish. I would say there are certain pieces that are out on the website that it's much more likely going to be our staff that download them, but that's a good question. I don't think we have that ability right now. Okay, Tatiana. What kind of queries do you receive from subscribers or people? What social media metrics do you use to monitor progress? And what parameters do you consider as successful for monitoring the success of education? Okay, so there's a lot in there. So her first question is, how do you manage feedback? So we do get feedback from our educators, from specialists at Iowa State, occasionally from clients and users of the website. We'll get, you know, comments back through blogs or on social media. We love it when we get recommendations for ideas for the blog. So we try to kind of weigh that feedback that we get against our mission for the blog and the purpose of the blog and what it really is meant to be. And when we can, we take that feedback and turn it into, you know, shaping our priorities for what we kind of do next with the website or what topics we consider for blogs. The types of queries we get are, we get a lot of queries about getting things in different languages. We get a lot of queries about being able to, you know, print things and access things in different formats than maybe are available online. And again, we try to balance those against that desire to not always be providing folks with a printable, but also trying to drive them to the website as a whole, and kind of balancing that. As far as social media metrics, we use the metrics that are available through all of the social media platforms. So we look at the types of posts that tend to get a lot of engagement. Often those are posts that either feature a recipe or something like what you saw Justine pull up just very briefly on this week's blog and last week's blog. They were all about meal planning, and they had calendars with sample meal plans built into them. Those types of things where there's a resource right there in the image of the social media post, like the picture of the recipe or a thumbprint of that meal planning calendar, those get a lot of play online. So we try to take that as a lesson and embed those types of things into our posts when we can. Videos, images of recipes, and things like a meal planning calendar that you can see right there on Twitter or Facebook, those tend to be really popular. Do you have any evaluation or research publications on this project? We don't have any peer-reviewed research publications on the project yet, but we did just complete a user evaluation of Spend Smart, Eat Smart that we have just finished writing up for our SnapEd reporting, and we will likely be making that available soon to others as well. That is basically an evaluation of how users use the website, what types of behaviors it has helped them establish or continue, who our users are, some information about that, because that's always a little bit of a mystery when you're working online. So that has really been interesting as well. Let's see. Melissa has a question. How long did this all take to put together? That's a complex question. Spend Smart, Eat Smart has been around since 2007, 2008. And a lot of the content that's on the website now was kind of born from the content that was on that original site. So it has evolved over a lot of time. It isn't something that we, created in one fell swoop, if that makes any sense. And it was in 2017 that we kind of made the decision we had to transition off of the old platform onto one that would be mobile friendly. And that required us to work with a digital production company, a company that does website development. Again, they're called Flying Hippo Digital here in Des Moines. And they basically created a skeleton for us to operate within and trained us on how to be able to maintain as much of the site as we can on our own, because that helps us keep costs down. But it's something that has really evolved over nearly 10 years of time. Let's see. What nutrient analysis software is used to analyze the nutritional information for the recipes? So, Justine, I might turn that over to you to answer.
Hi, yeah, we use Food Processor, though recently I've been double-checking everything with the Axia has just put out a new web-based nutrition analysis website, so I've been double-checking with that, but usually they track right on with each other, so Food Processor is our main one.
Okay, thank you, Justine. Kate has a question. Do you run any specific analytics or use any particular online resources for reporting purposes? We do run analytics on both the blog and the website that we use in our reporting. Our primary accountability for reporting is to SnapEd, because a portion of Spend Smart, Eat Smart is funded using SnapEd funds. So we do look at reach. We look at what portions of the website are most actively used. That helps us inform when we do have resources to invest in the site, what parts of it do we want to invest in? You know, the parts that our users are telling us are most useful to them, the parts that are getting the most play, those tend to be where we direct our attention. But yes, we have analytics that run behind the scenes on the website and the app that allow us to see what pieces are getting used the most. How do you extrapolate data for EARS reporting? So that's a fellow SnapEd person who's asking that question. We can look at total reach data for EARS reporting. We can look at monthly average data, but we can't look at data with EARS subcategories of age, nationality, race, that type of thing. Let's see. How are your recipes featured on the website developed? I will again turn that to Justine. She is our expert on that.
Wow, thank you for asking. They're developed right here in my home kitchen where I'm sitting right now. Can you believe it? I have a recipe development process that I use. I start with ideas given to me by users, by colleagues, and by students. And so we start with an idea, and then I usually work that idea until it can fall within our nutrition parameters that we follow. And once I get it there and I get it to where I feel like it tastes really good as well, then I will share it with colleagues or students and have them test it for me a couple times. And then we have a testing process in which we invite many colleagues to test our recipes. Usually 3 to 4 colleagues will each test a recipe for us. So each recipe then gets an additional 3 to 4 tests after that. And then based on specific feedback that we get from those testers, I then go back to the drawing board with the recipe and make any changes that will make the recipe better. And then usually after that, they are photographed and then published. So it's usually about a year-long process. Sometimes I can make the turnaround a little bit quicker if there's a really high demand for something, but usually it's about a year-long process, and a recipe is tested probably at least 10 to 12 upwards to 15 to 20 times before it's ever put on the on the website.
Okay, thank you, Justine. I see we have a question from somebody asking about a portion of the website that talks about family meals. I would encourage you to take a look at the cook section. And if you don't see what you think would be valuable there, let us know. We'd be happy to hear about ideas you'd have for things we might include. There's a question here, Rachel, that I think is probably for you that I bet you'll address about being able to access the recorded version of this. So I'll let you answer that at the end here. A question of, do you film your own videos, and if so, where? The current videos, the ones that we've made most recently, are filmed in the kitchen labs here at Iowa State. We basically box in an environment with white light and do them up in our lab. And we are lucky enough to have a photographer and videographer here who does the photo shoots for our recipes and video shoots for us. His name is Ryan Riley. So yes, we do the videos ourselves. Some of the older videos that you'll see online, some of those were shot in people's homes, the ones that clearly have a home background. And those were shot by Jed Findley, who's another videographer who works here at Iowa State. Let's see. There's a question here about somebody with a question about how to install the app. Sandra, maybe you and I can talk offline about your question with that. I think that is it for the questions that are in the chat. So I will go ahead and put up our contact information. For those of you that might have questions and want to get in touch with us directly, feel free to reach out. Here are our email addresses, and thank you for giving us an hour of your time to share with you about Spend Smart, Eat Smart, and hopefully you saw something that might be useful to you or your colleagues in your own programming. So, Rachel, I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you. Yes, excellent presentation. Thank you for sharing all those resources with us. Just a reminder, watch for an email. Should be to you by the end of the day on Thursday of this week. The email will include a link to the recording as well as the handout material and the CEU certificate that you earned for your live attendance. And then but if for some reason the email doesn't reach you, all SNEB recorded webinars are on the website, and members have access to all of those at no cost. And then when I close out the webinar, there'll be a short survey, and we appreciate feedback on this session as well as ideas for future sessions. And speaking of upcoming webinars, there's a JNEB is doing a webinar on Thursday of this week of becoming a great reviewer. That's actually free to everyone, so you're encouraged to share that with anyone who may be interested in that program. Then Journal Club is starting on February 5th, and the topic is looking at reaching underserved populations. And then there's also an extension webinar. It's actually a two-part series. The first one is on February 13th, looking at food access and equity. So all those are listed on the SNEB website, so you're encouraged to go there and check out those future webinars, and we hope to see you back on an SNEB webinar in the future.